Well, everybody got their notes? The beginning of wisdom is knowledge. The beginning of wisdom is knowledge. The beginning of wisdom is knowledge. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. There are a lot of people who have knowledge. At one point, I was working for C.B. Smith Volkswagen, and the line mechanic at the beginning of the mechanic line for Volkswagen repair was a gentleman with a Ph.D. And he was working as a line mechanic in a Volkswagen dealership. Why? Because he had spent years in school, got his degree, had a Ph.D., a doctorate, but he didn't have the ability to apply it. And so he went to what he knew when he was going through school. He had a Volkswagen that broke down all the time. And so after the many, many years he spent in school getting his degree, he became very familiar with Volkswagen repair. And so when he couldn't apply the degree he had gotten, because he didn't have the wisdom to apply the knowledge he had received, he went back to what he was used to, working on Volkswagens. You know, there's a whole lot of people that haven't learned to apply the knowledge they have, so they have knowledge, but they don't have wisdom. Wisdom applies the knowledge you've gained. In the church, there are people who have gained knowledge, but have never developed the wisdom to apply it to their life. They know, with his stripes I was healed, as theory, but they don't know it as practice. They know, my God shall supply all of my need, but they don't apply it as practice. They know, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, but they don't apply it. I've had people tell me in the past that they had read the Bible through 3 times, 5 times. One day a man said, I'm starting through the Bible the 18th time. And I thought, I was a young Christian at the time, I thought, I'm going to ask him some questions because I've got some questions about the Word of God. So I started asking him questions, and he didn't have answers because he had read the Bible 17 times, was starting through his 18th time, but had not activated the knowledge of the Word. If you're reading the Bible just so you can say, I read the Bible, you're wasting your time. When you gain a piece of knowledge, the first thing you ask yourself, how can I apply this to make my life better? How can I apply this to make my life better? If not, you'll be like a young man I ran into once at the University of Texas. He had been in school 27 years, and his parents cut him off. And they said, we're not paying for this anymore. I forget how many degrees he had. But his desire was to be a lifelong student at UT. He came from a wealthy family, and he'd been in school 27 years. I think he was there for the co-eds, not for the classes. But he was distraught. What am I going to do now? He had a list of degrees he had obtained in 27 years, and he was distraught. My family has cut me off. They're not paying for it anymore. This guy had gray in his beard. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What is the knowledge of the truth? That everything God said to you was to be applied to your life, was for you to walk in, not for you to talk about. You know what's really sad? To have a seminar on financial freedom and have to call off the seminar because the speaker didn't have the money for the airfare to get there. But it happens. I was involved in a miracle crusade once, and we had to call it off at the last minute because the healing evangelist was sick. And I'm decreeing that's never going to happen anymore to them, but it's hard to call off a healing crusade because the evangelist is sick. But church, when you don't apply the knowledge you have to increase your living ability, you lack wisdom. You can read all the books in the earth, but if they don't change you, you've wasted your effort in reading them. Because knowledge without application is a vacuum called lack of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is knowledge. There are two realms of existence in the earth. The primary realm of existence in the earth is light, good, truth, and God the Father. By default, there is darkness, evil, deception, and the father of lies, Satan. Why do I say by default? Because it was never God's original intent for the earth for the devil to have any place. Understand this. God designed the earth for his children, for his people. There is only evil by default. The devil has no place in the earth except that which a human gives him. One more time. The devil has no place in the earth except that which a human gives him. It amazes me to find people who are frightened that the devil is going to jump on them. Excuse me. The devil can't jump on you unless someone assigns a demon to you. I've said this before, and I want you to get it tonight. There is no reason to fear the devil. He cannot do anything to you you will not allow him to do. The devil couldn't come in the garden and bully Adam. He had to produce something that Adam would fall prey to, a lie, a deception, a doubt. Satan's number one weapon to attack you is doubt, to get you to doubt who you are, whose you are, what you have, what can you can do, where you are. If he can get you to doubt, hath God really said that? Well, as soon as you depart from God said as your absolute rule. No, God said, with his stripes I was healed. But you got a fever. With his stripes I was healed. But you got a pain. With his stripes I was healed. But the doctor's report says, with his stripes I was healed. Now, people will think you're Looney Tunes, but what they don't realize, they're living in their reality, and you're living in God's. There are two realities in the earth, light and darkness. Light is ruled by the Word. Darkness is ruled by doubting the Word. Evil must be allowed entrance into anyone's life. He cannot force his way in. In the early days of my pastoral work, I was exposed to a number of demoniacs. For a time there, they just came out of the woodwork. Only a couple of people who were around in the early days will remember when we used to have a whole crew of Hare Krishnas come in and take up a whole row of seats because they were going to disrupt the service, and they couldn't do it. We had a hooker walk in one night with short shorts on and her blouse tied here, carrying a tall boy and smoking a cigarette, and she was going to disrupt service, but it didn't work. We had a witch walk in one night and was going to disrupt service. We had demoniacs sent to us from the West Coast, the East Coast, and saw people delivered. We even had Anton LaVey's bookkeeper sent to us for deliverance. And the Lord began to, you remember John?
Yeah.
The Lord began to teach us some things. And the Lord asked me one day, said, why does a demon have to come to a coven and get them to put a spell on a person before they can act on the spell? And I went, I got it. The demon doesn't have the authority to attack them. He has to get a brother to accuse them so he can ride in on their curse. Evil must be allowed entrance into anyone's life. He cannot force his way in. The devil cannot catch you in a dark alley, jump on you, and go, "You're going to let me in." No. He cannot. He has to have your permission or someone else who will give him permission or access to your life to whom you're connected. Had Adam not opened the door through allowing doubt, Satan would have no place in the earth. Understand this. When doubt knocks on your life, question it. Are you really saved? Are you really healed? Are you really? Realize this. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, and his greatest subterfuge is doubt. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect faith casts out doubt. Ephesians 4:27, give no place to the devil. That's the King James. Do not give the devil a foothold, English Standard Version. Do not allow the devil any place to plant a seed, Gospel according to Jim. One translation says, give no real estate to the devil. Why? If you give him a piece of land, he's going to put seeds of doubt and unbelief in it and drag you down. So, if God put in his word, and he said, Brian, give no place to the devil, then it seems to me God is saying, Brian determines whether the devil has any place in his life. Now, a whole lot of people are still trying to pull a Flip Wilson. The devil made me do it. But the devil can't make you do anything you don't surrender to. The evil one roams about seeking whom he may devour. Who can he have for lunch? 1 Peter 5:8. He is looking for weakness, weariness, uncoveredness, meaning your armor is not in place. Why do we put on the helmet of salvation? What is the helmet of salvation? The helmet of salvation says, I'm a member of the family of light. Therefore, I can't allow anything in here that's not of light. The breastplate of righteousness. I'm in right standing with God. I can't allow anything in here that doesn't speak of my right standing with God. So the devil can't come in and go, well, you know, you're really not living the way you should. That's not your decision. The Word of God has decided that. An uncovered, truth-lacking mind is what the deceiver seeks. You notice in 1 Peter 5:8, it says he goes about seeking whom he may devour. He goes around looking for who can I have for lunch? How does he know who he can devour? When he goes, boo, do you flinch? When he goes, let's talk, do you go, about what? How did the Lord, our Redeemer, address the devil every time the devil spoke to him? It is written. Why? Because the devil is not of the Word. The Word is total truth. The devil is total deception. He cannot stand where the truth is. Had Adam said, yes, God said that, it would have been over. But when the devil comes to you and says, you're not coming down with something, are you? And you go, well, then he knows he can eat your lunch. The evil one's most successful door knock is doubt. Pastor, why did you call it a door knock? Because that's the way the Lord said it to me. The devil comes and knocks at the door of your life. And the knock most people fall for is doubt. What if you don't get paid this week? Now, it's not even payday, and you're already getting concerned. I'm watching right now so many pontificators of gloom and despair in the, unfortunately, the religious arena, and they're prophesying the world is coming to an end in September. That on October the 1st, the whole financial system is going to collapse. The Antichrist is going to bite you in the wallet. The devil himself is going to punch you with his pitchfork, and it's just going to be hell on earth. And I go, my Bible says, my God never leaves me nor forsakes me to the end of the age. If the age is over, I'm out of here. If I'm still here, then it shall not come nigh my dwelling. You know, every believer should personalize Psalms 91. Well, Pastor, didn't you do that for us a few years ago? Yes, I did. But I don't sense that a lot of people are using it. Psalms 91 is a tremendous tool. I've told you, anytime you move into a new apartment or a new house, first thing you do is walk to that house and decree, "It is written," and then walk through the place reading the Psalms 91 aloud. But you need to make it your own. "Because I abide under the shadow of your wings, I will fear no evil. In your arms you will bear me up, angels of God, lest I dash my foot against a stone. You will keep me from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence." Make Psalms 91 a personal prayer that you pray. Why? How could David face Goliath? Psalms 91. How could David face the lion and the bear? Psalms 91. You see, Psalms 91 is the attitude of a champion. If you want to be a champion, borrow a champion's attitude and make it your own. You see, I don't have to invent wisdom as long as I am knowledgeable enough and have the wisdom to adopt wisdom that others have had. I don't have to invent the wheel to use it. John 8:44. The Lord Jesus speaking to religious Jews. "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Settle one thing in your heart." Or Roberts used to say, "God is a good God and there's no evil in him. The devil is an evil devil and there's no good in him." We need to settle that for ourselves, because if Adam had that settled, he'd have never embarked on a conversation with the devil. One more time. If you understand the devil is a liar and the father of lies and there's no truth in him, why would you engage in any conversation with him? Whether doubt, fear, unbelief, why would you engage? You are the gatekeeper of your life. You determine what you allow in and what you don't allow in. And if you don't keep the wicked one outside your life, he will climb the gate. He will use deception. He will bring fear and doubt to sow seeds of unbelief. It is up to you to answer every accusation of the evil one with "It is written," because any other reply gives ground to the devil. There is no good, no truth, nothing worthy of giving attention to the devil or to the evil one of darkness. Don't give the devil, the evil one of darkness, anything. Nothing. No ground. Understand this. You've got to learn to recognize a lie. You're coming down with something. How can I come down with something if with his stripes I was healed? You're going broke. How can I go broke if my God supplies all of my needs? There's something lurking in the darkness. Doesn't bother me. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. He goes with me to the end of the age. But you see, the devil wants to sow seeds to get you thinking outside of the new covenant. One more time, because somebody wasn't listening. The devil wants to sow seeds to get you thinking outside the new covenant. If you don't know the truth, then you can't be free. John says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth you know in intimate personal revelation will liberate you in that arena." When I know the truth about with his stripes I was healed, I never allow a doubt to come in. Well, Pastor, you're not looking good. I don't go by how I look. I go by it is written, with his stripes I was healed. Amen. Pastor, you feel warm to me. Well, I'm pretty hot stuff, so don't worry about it. No, don't ever go there. Don't ever go there. Anything that denies the truth of your covenant, you can't allow the conversation. One must pursue the Father's truth in every area of their thought life. If you don't pursue the truth in your thought life, you will fall prey to deception in your thought life. If you don't pursue truth in your thought life, you'll fall prey to deception in your thought life. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you're truly my... What was the condition? If you continue in my word, then you are disciples of mine. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But you have to continue in the word. Once you learn the promises of your new covenant, if you don't want to take the time to read through the new covenant, write them down, you can go to the bookstore and buy God's promises for you. There's another one, God's promises will work for you. There's several along that title, New Covenant Promises of the New Testament. Get one of those. Look at all the promises and start familiarizing yourself by taking ownership. It is written, with his stripes I was healed. Therefore, I am the healed of the Lord. I was healed 2,000 years ago. My God supplies all of my need. I will never lack any good thing because God continually supplies my need. There will never be a need so big that it overrides his supply. As you meditate the word and make it apply to your life, then the devil comes by and goes, you know, I think you've lost your salvation. He will never leave me. He'll never forsake me. No man plucks me out of his hand. He gave me eternal life. Eternal life means eternal. It is not dependent upon my behavior. It's dependent upon his grace. Knowing the truth frees you from deception. When you know the truth about your health, your wealth, your joy, your peace, no one can deceive you. You know, it amazes me how many people think that God puts sickness on people to teach them something. And I go, can you lead me to the scripture that you got that from? Well, you remember in the Old Testament, God said to the prophet, put your hand in your bosom, now take it out. Now put it back, and it was gone. What was God teaching him? If you will listen to me, there's not enough leprosy in the world to eat you. God didn't put sickness on him. He used it to demonstrate that he was Lord over it. His bosom was not regenerated. It wasn't born again. His bosom still belonged to the devil where sickness rules. So he said, put your hand in your bosom. Now draw it out. There was leprosy on it. But did it stay? Can you find a place where God puts sickness on anybody to teach them something? Why? If I want you to learn the American Constitution, I don't send you to a Nazi training camp. Are you listening? If I want to teach you how to be a banker, I do not send you to where? How to use other people's money. He that is of God hears God's words and rejects all other adverse words. That's parenthesized, but I want you to get it. Salvation, being born again, frees one from the dominion, lordship, evil captivity of Satan. Now, Brother Steve was wondering if I was going to use the board because so many times they bring the board in and I get carried away. But I want to take you to a place tonight that I want you to learn something. This is very important to you. I've touched on this several times in assemblies, and because of what the Lord is teaching me on salvation, salvation is so much more than being saved, that I want you to get this. But I was sitting there tonight, and the Lord was going over the notes with me, and he brought me to this point in the notes. And so I wrote a note to the ushers to get the board because I wanted you to see it and I wanted to register with you. When you see the word saved, what do you think of? People think past occurrence. I was saved. But when you think born again, you see, this is a destination you arrive at. It's a past occurrence. It's already taken place. I was saved. It's done. Born again is a starting point. Pastor, you're dealing in semantics. No, I'm not. Because you must understand this. The Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus what? In order to what? In order to see. In order to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. In order to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. What is the difference in salvation or being saved and born again? Salvation is an act. Saved is an occurrence. Born again is the beginning of a new experience. You were born into the world of darkness. The world of darkness trained you how to eat, sleep, think, walk, talk, do. Now that you have been born again, you must relearn a new way of walking, a new way of talking, a new way of being, a new way of thinking, a new way of... And so you must be born again. He didn't say, Nicodemus, you need to get saved. Get saved is a product of the church, religion. The Lord Jesus said you must be born again. in order to see the kingdom of God. Why? If you got saved, you may miss seeing the kingdom of God because you added God to your life. I'm saved, I'm just waiting for the end. But if I'm born again, now I've got to start life over. And I've got to learn all the things over that I learned in my old life. I've got to learn how they work in my new life. I was reading this week an Arab newspaper, and it's a totally different experience to read a direct translation from an Arab newspaper. It said him, success now possible. When you come from an Arab-speaking country to learn English, they say the same thing. This English is crazy. English is hard. Why? Because in different cultures, they phrase their things differently. And objects or things done are personified as the person who did them. And I'll be reading along and it goes, and him presented said. And I'm going, and him presented. We don't talk that way. So if you were to venture to an Arab country and you wanted to live there, your language would have to be born again. Just like people coming to America have to learn new things. They're not used to going to an emergency room. They've been going to the village witch doctor. They're not used to having things the way we have them. We went to Ireland in the 80s and found that a lot of the houses didn't have refrigerators. No, they would set the milk on the window ledge or on the floor because, you know, we don't warm the house up above 54 degrees. You'd go to the grocery store and they didn't have the milk in a cooler. It was sitting on the floor because the floor is cooler and everything was cold anyway. And I'm going, haven't they discovered refrigeration over here? But you see, I also remember the 50s when you would be walking down the street with sweat pouring off of you and you'd see a store and it said refrigerated air inside. And you would go into that store just to experience the cool because it was a new way of, and people had to be trained to look for the refrigerated air inside sign. And also it was a warning because some people thought refrigerated air, in the beginning they used to teach it gave you arthritis. You have to be a little older to remember that, but people would not go in some houses and some businesses because they had refrigerated air, and that refrigeration will give you arthritis. Because they would walk into the cold, and if they sat in there for a while, they'd feel a little stiff. So that refrigeration is giving you arthritis. All kinds of fairy tales come out when you don't know the truth that liberates you and sets you free. So the Lord said, not Nicodemus, you must get saved. He said, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. In other words, you've got to start over or you'll never see the kingdom of God because the natural mind can't see with his stripes we were healed. The natural mind can't see my God supplies all of my need. You see, when I go to visit the hospital and see the doctors and nurses and they come up to me, sometimes 6, 8, 10 of them at a time will gather around. And they'll go, you know, there's no medical reason for you to be alive. And I go, I don't need a medical reason because I have God. But you see, in their thought life, there's no reason for you to be alive. In fact, the doctors came up one day and to Lou and I and said, this is one of the doctors. He comes up and says, you know, we never expected you to live. That just really puts your faith in medicine and doctors when the doctor comes up and says, we never expected you to live. But if God be for you, what can be against you? Mindset has to be set by it is written, not by life. And a lot of people coming to church have a problem because they're trying to figure God out by their old mindset. And some people say, well, I got saved. They went to the altar and prayed the sinner's prayer, but they weren't born again. They were stillborn. Because it never went any further than the act of the birth. And they didn't use it as a starting point. They used it as an ending point. I got saved. I don't need anything more. You must be born again to see the kingdom of God, denoting that being born again is the start of a new life versus saved, which is the end of an old life. I was drowning, and I got saved. What did you do with it after that? Well, I just sat on the pier waiting for something to change. He that is of God hears God's word and rejects all other adverse words. God said has to become the deciding factor of your life, regardless of what it looks like. But, Pastor, what if the economy does collapse? My God supplies all of my needs according to the living standard of heaven, not according to the U.S. Treasury. Is the economy going to collapse? No. Is it going to suffer? Yes. Am I going to feel sorry for people without a covenant relationship with God? Yes. But it will not come nigh my dwelling. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come nigh me. Well, Pastor, that seems like a pretty selfish attitude. No. It's available to whosoever will. Are you born again, starting a new life of existence where you can see the kingdom of God in your health and your wealth and your joy and your peace and your eternal security? Or were you saved and it's the end of your worry about what's going to happen? Salvation, being born again, frees one from the dominion, the lordship of evil, of the evil captivity of Satan. But they must learn to live in the new realm of light, life, and truth. I can't live the way I lived before I received God. I must find out how God wants me to live my life. An unrenewed mind, thought life, prevents one from exercising the benefits of what they now have. The Lord said, you must be born again. But the Lord also said what? Now that you're born again, renew your mind. Why? Because you weren't just saved, a past occurrence. You were born again, which is a starting point of a new life. Now you've got to learn how to walk the new walk, talk the new talk, live the new life, believe the new way of life. I was watching a video of a guy who'd traded in his Honda Accord and bought a Z06. It still had the dealer plate on it. He pulled up to a stoplight and somebody gunned their engine beside him, and he tromped it like he used to tromp the Accord to come off of the light. The car went sideways one way, went sideways the other car, and then he ran off the road and totaled his new Z06. Now, when you're driving an Accord, you can put it in first gear, and you can let out the clutch, And you can depress that accelerator all the way to the floor, and it's going to go ring. But when you're driving a 600 horsepower Z06 as opposed to 135 horsepower Accord, and you put it in first gear and tromp it to the floor, and you're not used to it, it goes this way, it goes this way, and pretty soon it goes that way. Driving an unregenerate life is totally different to driving a life in Christ Jesus. This life has power under the hood. Your words matter. Your thoughts matter. Your actions matter. The guy that had the Accord and got the Z06, he still had the same driver's license. He was still on the same roads. He was still putting it in first gear and letting out the clutch and depressing the accelerator. But he had changed realms of existence. When you became born again, you changed realms of existence. Your words now have weight. You now have ability and power you didn't have, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will walk in miracles, signs, and wonders. But if all you got was saved, you're just waiting until it's all over. Walk in the light as He is in the light, and there's a blank line. What would you put on that line? Walk in the light as He is in the light, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Why? When you were born again, it came with a new set of desires. If your mind has been renewed to those new desires that are available to you. I don't think of aspirin when a pain hits my head. Why not? Because I know I can begin to praise God that with His stripes I was healed, and it leaves, and I don't have to get rid of all of that white oak wood bark in my system. Be not conformed to this world, Romans 12:2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Born again is the entrance into being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now then, if you will go one more page with me. I made a separate page where it's a scripture training list. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Settle it once and for all. I, make that verse personal. I am qualified to share in the inheritance that the Lord and Redeemer received in His resurrection triumph and seating at the right hand of God. Now, how you address that on that line is up to you. But understand this, what you write on that line is going to affect the way you think. So, Patsy, I want to write the right thing on these lines. I give thanks to the Father who has qualified me to share in the inheritance my anointed Redeemer received when He was resurrected from the dead. 2 Corinthians 4. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. My eyes are no longer blinded, so I see the light of the glory of God. Well, Pastor, I haven't seen the light of the glory of God yet. That's why you're decreeing it and confessing it. You're taking ownership of this scripture so it becomes real to you. Because I am born again, my eyes are no longer blinded. I see the light of the gospel. I see the glory of Christ. I see the image of God. Romans 1:28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do the things which are not proper. If I don't renew my mind will drag me down. If I do not choose to renew my mind will drag me down, just as Adam's mind drug him down. Ephesians 4:17. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind. As a born-again child of God, I have a new walk, a new talk, a new thought, and a new way of being. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. As a born-again child of God, all of the promises of the new covenant open to me and are available to me, and I will possess all of those promises. Amen. The coming of God's Son was to open the way back to original intent, pre-fall. What was God's intent? That Adam lack no good thing. Amen. That Adam walk in His presence, talk in His presence, and represent Him in the earth. Romans 10:10. I, the Redeemer, am come to earth that you, whosoever will, may have life, the God level of life, and have it abundantly, overflowing. God doesn't want us to have a miserable existence on earth. That the fullness of our religious experiences to point back to I got saved. No, I'm born again. I walk in a newness of life. All of my needs are met. All of my desires are fulfilled. I lack no good thing. 2 Timothy 2:15, study and do your best to present yourself to God approved, a workman tested by trial, who has no reason to be ashamed, accurately handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. As a child of the Most High God, I study my new covenant. I select from my new covenant everything that belongs to me. I make lists of the things that belong to me, and then I possess them. If someone dies and I'm in the will, I want to see the will. I want to see the will, and I want to read everything in the will that pertains to me. And from that day forward, that will then become my right to that house, that car, that bank account, whatever, because whatever the will says I own, I'm going to have. Well, I don't feel worthy of it. Hun, they're dead. It's on the table. If I don't take it, the lawyers will, the bankers will, the state will. All over Austin, there are properties sitting vacant because the will has not been accepted. I don't want any promise of this book left unappropriated by you. This is your will, the New Testament. Testament means will. Will means testament. This is the new will God left to you. In it, He left you exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises you might become a partaker of the divine nature. Is your mind renewed to see what belongs to you? Because you can't see the kingdom until your mind is renewed to kingdom truth. Are we getting anything tonight? Daddy God, I seal the word this night in the minds of all who have heard. Our minds are being renewed to the truth of your new covenant. Your new covenant truth is coming alive within us. And we lay hold of the promises and we receive them as our own. We give thanks to you that you have qualified us, empowered us, enabled us to stand as sons of God and inherit the promises and possess the blessings. Father, I thank you for the miracles and signs and wonders that will occur in the life of the people under the sound of my voice, because they are becoming the new creation they have become. They are becoming the new creation they have become. They are becoming the new creation they have become. And nothing shall be impossible for them because they believe. If you need prayer of agreement in any area, there are ministers who will be available to stand with you, to pray with you, to believe with you, to agree with you on the promise that you're standing on, that it's made complete in your life. You're loved, you're blessed, go with God.